This program is brought to you by Resonance 104.4 FM. If you like what you hear and want to support our work, please make a donation at fundraiser.resonance.fm.
Good afternoon, you're listening to Wavelength on Resonance 104.4 FM at www.resonancefm.com on the net. Today's Christmas guest is Dan Wilson of Meadow House, who is presently on the phone to sort of, what shall we call him, a third party guest. Hugh de la Cruz. Is he rung off now?
He's finished. Sorry, that was Hugh de la Cruz, the inventor of
perpetual motion.
Perpetual motion.
But you were in the process of discussing. You got some advice for him regarding a water pump.
He did say he doesn't want to air his ideas too prematurely for fear of
intervention.
Yeah, he mentioned about being bumped off and, the Russians would kill to have
such a device, a perpetual motion machine, which has been immortalised in the film It's My Own Invention, with a soundtrack by Dan Wilson.
Yes, that's
who,
me.
Who was the host, are you still the host of the Hellboy show ever?
No.
That was
a long time ago. Yeah.
There
was also Epistaxis time, but technically that wasn't me, that was a pseudonym, that was someone else.
Right, okay, but you have hosted these shows.
Most recently the Radionics Radio show on Resonance, which was an experimental project to see if thoughts could be represented as frequencies.
Right.
In a very occult way.
Yeah. And we share an interest in synchronicity, don't we?
Well, we're both affected by it quite regularly.
And interestingly, Hugh did call completely out of the blue. I didn't prompt him to do this. He had actually, he phoned you literally 5 minutes before you were due to come on air.
That is a very odd synchronicity.
And is he going to call my phone or not?
He's a bit off the cuff, a bit, it's a bit short notice.
Because I wanted to take him to task for sending me a Christmas card without a stamp on it. and I had to go to Phoenix Place at Mount Pleasant to collect this letter, which I didn't know what it was at the time. And when I opened it, it was a card from Hugh and Sue, and I had to pay a £2 surcharge on this.
£2? That's quite a lot for...
Exactly. It's far more than the cost of the stamp.
Oh, God.
But we could have mentioned this to Hugh on air.
Oh. We could phone him back, maybe, and you could put it on speakerphone.
Right.
I think he did say he's not. It's a bit short notice. It's surprising him a bit. He didn't realise that I was going to be. I was on air. He didn't realise I was with you.
No. But it's synchronicity again, isn't it?
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. So what have you got for us today? This is a Christmas show, isn't it? This is the Dan Wilson on Wavelength Christmas event.
Haven't your last 5 shows been Christmas shows?
Yes, and I've got 3 more to go. The last one, I think, 2 weeks ago, turned into, basically, started as a Christmas show and sort of ended up with occult Stalinism.
Oh, yes, with Bob Parks.
With Bob Parks, and I haven't heard from him since.
No. Well, he's an insider now, isn't he? He's
gone mainstream.
Yeah.
But I had to entice it from you that you did do a Christmas album once.
Yes, but I've only brought one track along,
right?
Because it was done at a time in more bloody-minded days when. Let me take you back.
Please do.
Resonance used to be in Denmark Street.
Yeah.
And as you said, I used to present a show called the Hellbore Show.
Yeah.
The exciting Hellbore Show.
Right.
And I played one of the Christmas songs, which was designed for tape dropping. It was back in 2004. You could leave cassettes around in public places, and people would find these cassettes and be jarred or surprised or pleasantly entertained by them. But nowadays, cassettes are a kind of obsolete medium. In fact, cassettes are dead, maybe you could say. I think right. there's no...
But there is a strange revival of it.
There's
them,
a revival,
there?
But there's...
kind of limited sort of, you know, like editions of 30 or something, and you just kind of...
Yeah, but the general public, you know, to them it's just a...
Yeah, doesn't that make it underground? Doesn't that mean it's not a sort of an elitist sort
it does,
of
but
secret?
It, it diffuses the whole act of tape dropping, which is designed not for knowing people. The tape dropping is actually a process where you can kind of intervene with the laundrette owner. Everyone can play a tape, but technically that's not true anymore.
Right.
Christmas CD was. Designed to be tape dropped, and as a byproduct of that, it was quite blue in places.
Sad, you mean? Melancholic?
No, blue as in a bit risque, it could be a bit strangely. Some of it was swearing, in fact, and right. I remember playing one of the songs back in Denmark Street on Resonance, and the station manager ran upstairs and hovered, listening, almost poised to intervene and say, "That's enough." He asked, how much longer does this go on? And I said, "Yeah, about 2 minutes."
Yeah.
And he said, "Well, it's a bit, tone it down a bit. You know, it's a bit."
Okay. So you were yanked off air?
Not yanked off air. Wasn't that, I've done worse things, I think, under pseudonyms.
Oh, tell me, go on. give me a clue as to what was on this Christmas album of yours. Then.
Well, you've got one. I've actually made you a specially redacted, cleaned up version. You could eat your dinner off it. It's a nicely clean version. It's and that's actually, you've got that today. You can play it if you want, but
right.
You see, listeners can hear what it's all about. But
when should we play it?
It's up to you. Whenever the moment takes you.
Right. Well, we can chat for a bit longer. Are you looking forward to Christmas?
Yeah.
Well, that's a very reluctant, hesitant. You have misgivings.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, I don't know, it's the whole present buying thing. It's just a waste of...
You mean you don't want to buy presents for people? Why? What's wrong with
no,
you?
No, I do, but they know that I'm a very... dedicated bin diver, so the first question is always, "This came from a bin, didn't it?"
Okay,
and it's, yes. It puts me off a bit because actually,
this is how you contracted Vial's disease, I think.
Suspected Vial's disease, unconfirmed. That I was fishing about. Coincidentally, another synchronicity. Okay. It was the Rat Pack, a CD box set of the Rat Pack, Sinatra, the Crooners. And as I fished it out, I realised it smells of rat urine.
Okay.
And I had an open sore on my knuckle.
Oh.
And a few days later, I was just incapacitated. It could have just been the flu, but I suspect... You know, that little synchronicity with the Rat Pack and the rat urine, that was...
But you're over that now? Or?
Yeah, it's very unbecoming to announce, to have to confess all this on radio, actually. It's
what's the worst Christmas you ever had, Dan?
Oh, possibly last Christmas.
perhaps it's always the most recent one.
Well, everyone was ill. It was just sad... I think the worst is yet to come, actually.
Oh, dear. All right. OK, well, on that note, but should we play one, a track from your Christmas album?
Well, I made a special... The Christmas album, I've not given you the Christmas album, the one that you mentioned, because it's too bloody-minded, you know. I was too young, and this is actually...
Why did you make a Christmas album?
It was for tape dropping. It was for...
Yeah, but isn't it a thing that sort of artists or artists do... As a perennial money spinner.
Yeah.
Because it's almost guaranteed every year comes round and people are going to buy a Christmas album,
I suppose,
aren't
they? This was the opposite of a money spinner. This was just dropping... This is like the most... I don't know, just dropping your stuff in the wild is the ultimate negation.
So what
of
was it,
comments.
Where did it go? Did people, did anyone actually ever get to hear it or play?
Yeah,
or
I had a few emails. There'd be email addresses on the tapes and people would say, oh, I enjoyed that. Or that would give you cues or hints to refine the material. So if they liked a particular track, then you could say, if they liked that, you could make the ultimate tape dropping, which would elicit a reaction because you're harvesting all the replies which are positive.
Right.
So it's a process of refinement, gradual refinement.
Yeah.
The Christmas thing was just a tongue-in-cheek, ploy on play on...
But is it a collector's piece now? Is it something, some great rarity for Meadow House collectors?
I don't know. Possibly.
Yeah. I'd like one.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know. They're on cassette somewhere. I've got a master tape somewhere.
Right.
I'll have to dig out. But,
all right. But it's unplayable then? What, because of obscenities or...?
Yeah. It wasn't too obscene, but you've got a cleaned up version here with you now. But I also composed a special piece for this show. William, yesterday, I've finished it.
Very well, okay.
A quarter tone piece of music celebrating this year's Christmas.
Right.
A Brexit, I shouldn't get political, but you could say...
I was going to say, I wondered how long it would... I was almost going to start with the word backstop, just to get it out of the way so that we could sort of... and in fact, question time was from Bishop Stortford last night. I was looking for you in the audience.
I wasn't there.
You weren't there. Why not?
I oscillate between several towns on the Herts and Essex border. That's just one of them. I happened to be in Harlow that evening.
Okay. But you have a connection with Bishop Stortford, or are we not supposed to mention this?
Well, I don't know. I don't like saying it on air because it was in Bishop Stortford where I ran away from some... PCSOs who were...
What's that? What's a PCSO?
They're the police community support officers.
Oh.
I'm not sure if they're legally... I mean, I could be on a wanted list somewhere, but all I did was I was just looking in some bins.
Is that illegal then?
No, it's not, because it's on a public right of way, but there is a possible public order offence, which I'm often told is a possible crime.
A misdemeanor.
Yeah. Theft by finding is another one.
Is it really?
Yeah.
That's interesting. So, I mean, do you go to the same bins repeatedly?
There are some particularly fruitful bins. In fact, I've got a poem that I could actually read out to you now if you want.
Is this a Christmas poem?
I say poem. I could hear a kind of groan. I don't know if that's listeners groaning into their radios. And,
no, I often play poems. Spoken word is a feature of my programme.
Okay. Well, I'll call this a ventilation instead.
All right.
I could give...
So presumably this has some relevance to the subject of bin diving.
Yes. And it's actually giving thanks this year, this Christmas, to the bins, to what the bins have provided. I'll start now.
Okay.
It's untitled.
Right.
Hark! 'Tis time to give thanks to the bins. Trade waste across the land, we sing to you. Me and the bloke with the dogs. Chewing gum man. Touchy Dave. Rog the flower seller. Screeching Christina. Banana Rama man and the many other nameless torchbearers who arrive and depart at less social hours. We remember with gratitude, wonder, distress, necessity, humility, fortitude tinged with furtiveness, the box of Atari ST games, the blocks of Duplo, a porcelain pineapple, an umbrella just when you need it, Morphy Richards' 3-band transistor radio, a wooden carving of the Eiffel Tower, Max Factor Lipfinity Longwear Lipstick Frivolous 108, sealed as new, Sun Fire Office brass trinket dish, a Kinect motion sensing adapter for the Xbox 360, modernist chrome salt and pepper shakers, an executive desk toy involving balls, a techno style grid design cyberspace mouse mat, some Quentin Tarantino videos, a wall hanging Ivorex plaque depicting a cloister of Gloucester Cathedral, a pack of 4 unused audio tapes. Jak mówić po polsku, podrej niektóra poziąt kujansik. The Jane Fonda workout. A Richard Crowe CDR. A 5-star office stapler. Philips CDI. That bag of glass marbles, excuse me. amethyst tea light candle holder, box of six drinks coasters, EPNS, illuminated novelty tire, UGO Chaos Emperor Dragon Unlimited Edition Ultimate, SCART cables, Mother Teresa beer mat, Gunson tachostrobe flashing timing RPM light, The Story of Art by E.H. Gombrich, 11th edition, lightly annotated, Michael McIntyre live at the O2 Arena, MB Games Operation, the Shrek edition, a portable Sony MP3 player, excuse me, what are you doing? A rubber turtle footstool, a collection of curtain hooks, Pokemon Mega Camerupt EX Premium Collection, Martin McCutcheon photograph, scissors, Crash Bandicoot for the PlayStation 1, excuse me, go and fetch the manager, vintage metal William Shakespeare Nutcrackers, Viewmaster 3D image viewer containing one reel of Magic Roundabout, plastic maritime clock, Pogs, Tazos, and Monster in My Pocket in a sports bag, SatNav in-car navigation system, Pete Tong personal hygiene kit. Excuse me, can you get out our bins, please? Boxed Lone Ranger and Tonto action figures with Scout and another unnamed horse. Nirvana, Nevermind cassette. Casio TV 880 portable LCD colour television. A Mouthful of Breath Mints and No One to Kiss by Kathy Gweiswhite, first edition. A potato. The Best Bits from Big Brother 4, DVD. Grooming set essentials complete with nail clippers. Ed the Duck cushion. David Attenborough poster featuring stick insect on Attenborough's outstretched finger. Madonna and Child by Ernst Blendsdorf. Madonna, again. A toy helicopter, excuse me, I'm calling the police now. Carrier bag of bulbs of oncoming wattages. Cosmos by Carl Sagan, or Sagan, I don't know how to pronounce it. Paperback UK edition, first edition thus. Bronze Dalmatian paperweight ashtray. An oviform Urbino vase with ruby-lustered medallion inset showing St. Jerome kneeling near Lion, arabesques and gold tracery aflutter with rising cupids holding a cardinal's hat. In the centre, a figure astride on a sea goat with Neptune behind in rapture. Gold handles formed of female winged figures with serpent tails. On reverse is the Judgment of Paris. Plastic Darth Vader Pez dispenser, Eddie Cochran, The Summertime Blues and other hits, The Best of Hard Trance Volume 2, excuse me, Goa Hard and Euro Trance, Charles Dickens's Hard Trance, a tin of Crookes Glucose BD, a readily assimilable energizing food, Saliva, an incomplete set of metric spanners, excuse me, a luminous party orb, a piece of paper reading, "This is not a VAT receipt." Excuse me, Michael Aspel leaflet. Excuse me, SpongeBob SquarePants. Excuse me, excused, 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 excused. Merry Christmas.
Thank you, Dan. Thank you. Thanks. So that is your Christmas wants list.
That is a wants list. No, that's actually a has been list. That's yes. A list of things.
Did you actually retrieve these items, or is these just the things you saw when you were in the bin?
Some of them I've just noted down because I find bins are the ultimate oracles of synchronicity, and sometimes it's worth just writing down what you see and just to see whether strange synchronicities and coincidences happen to result from these sightings.
Yeah. By bins, of course, we mean a skip, don't we?
We mean trade waste bins. These are actually lidded bins.
Lidded?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God.
And you
get inside?
No. Well, some people do. Roger the flower seller, who does get right inside. And I keep saying be careful because there are often sharp things in there. And there's also traps. Shop workers do sabotage things. I mean, Waterstones at one level just rip the title pages out of books. And that's sabotaging the resale value of the books. But there's also people that put primed mouse traps, vacuum cleaner dust, strategically placed shampoo, all these kind of
to deter people such as yourself.
Yeah.
I mean,
is
there a community of bin divers? It sounds like you know these people, but by nickname at least.
Yeah, yeah. There is a. I mean, it's testament really to the richness of what everything that's being thrown away.
Yeah.
That there are so many people that do it. I don't know all of them, but all right. Those
in your particular area, there's this group.
Yeah, yeah. I've never actually personally met Screeching Christina, but someone's told me about her.
Right.
She's not screeching at all. Actually, she seems quite nice from a distance. But.
Okay.
I mean, I can understand why people would screech. I don't know what I'm saying. And when you're looking in bins, I mean, for instance, sometimes I sense when something's about to happen. Oh. There's someone in a fluorescent. There's a private security firm, a guy coming up to me from the corner of my eye.
Yeah.
And I've got various tactics to deter this.
Right.
One of them is to start saying... Shoal. And as they get closer, shoal, so scandalous.
Right.
And they think
so. They decide you're insane.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's also a meme, though. That's actually, I think that's a Beyonce. Actually, right. That's so long ago, I can't remember the.
Do people make a living from this? Is there a living to be had?
Yeah,
from
there
Bin
is, Dive? I think so, yeah. And yeah. I think that's...
you have found rare books, haven't you?
Yeah, yeah. I actually, this is interesting because... A few years ago, you could easily make a living from the books these places throw away. Bookshops, but also charity shops as well, that just their turnover means that they can't store them anymore. But then a company, I think it's called World of Books, has gradually affixed itself to the book waste of all the charity shops and thrift stores around the UK. So actually now... You don't see that many books anymore because a company is now taking them on an industrial scale and reselling them, which is good because it's a charitable organisation as well. So that actually saves a big bulk of books from being destroyed forever. Although I haven't looked in the bins of World of Books, so I don't know what this company could be chucking away their own.
Right.
Their own.
But are you in fear of being prosecuted in some way? You sounded a bit... nervous about the PCSOs or whatever they are.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if it's.
You don't know.
I mean, I've been told.
If the bin is on private land, or I suppose if it's at the back of a Waterstones or something, then perhaps they have rights over that bin. But if it's, for the most part, they're probably what, just in car parks or something. Or.
Yeah, they're in car parks and pathways and alleyways and. Technically, those are right of ways. I think.
So you can legally just get into the bin if you want to.
It's very vague. I mean, Toby Clarkson, the co-member of Oslotore Binnage, made a documentary called Little Tsunamis.
Right.
It was a film about various people affected by sound in different ways, and he saw. The bin says a kind of analogy for the dramas that can unfold, seeing a toy skeleton on top of a bus itself is a form of ready-made, you could say. It's a visual drama.
Yeah.
I mean, back in 2009, I actually saw a toy skeleton on, well, I shouldn't say actually, Stephen Gately, the singer from Boyzone, died just a few weeks after I cited this desecrated Stephen Gately CD, one of his solo CDs.
Right.
Synchronicity again.
Right.
But anyway, the point is the bins offer these dramas. Toby Clarkson was making a documentary about this and was actually told to go away and threatened with, in quite strong terms, with legal action.
Right.
Because you weren't allowed to be filming. And
you can't film the bins?
That was the first argument. And then he said, all right, then I'll just do sound only. And he said, no, you can't do that either. And Toby, he works in professional TV, so he actually tried to argue with them. And that's not something advisable when you're dealing with a private security firm because it's a bit smart alecky, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then I began poking around with some tongs, and then they changed their tact and said, well, that's an offensive weapon, those tongs. They look like knives. Actually, you could be arrested for having this offensive weapon. So it seems like my experience is they try to create problems and try to create obstructions.
I live in a block of flats, and we've had signs put up near the lift saying be aware, be cautious or something about putting post in the bins, because people come around and they can rifle through the bins looking for your sort of personal information, like data. Like if you've thrown away a gas bill or something.
That's like identity theft.
Identity theft. But you might also throw your mail or letters, correspondence, down the rubbish chute, and which, of course, ends up in a bin somewhere.
Yeah.
And people could be trying to piece these things together, sort of like your old British Film Institute membership card.
Or Hugh De La Cruz Christmas card.
Yes, indeed, with the surcharge stamp on it. Yeah. So is that an issue? Do you think that's why they might try and clamp down on it?
Well, these shops, they wouldn't throw away personal. I've never seen
any... if you were sort of bin diving in the Whitehall area...
Oh, yeah. There was actually a famous...
You'd be in serious trouble, wouldn't you?
Benjamin Pell, who was a journalist who obtained most of his source material from bins in those areas, Mayfair, Westminster, celebrities and politicians.
Right.
I think, genuinely, the... In personal, I don't really go around people's black bins much, but no. I suspect those are just as rich as the trade waste of businesses.
Right. And of course, there was it's not entirely disconnected, but there was the case of when it was the Iranian Revolution, and the people, they took over the American embassy and put together everything that had been shredded, didn't they? It took them several years to put the correspondence back together again, even though it had been shredded.
I hadn't heard of that.
Oh, yes.
Wow.
Yeah, that was quite a famous story.
And that was before.
Way back in the mist of time. But yeah, because they tried to shred everything, but of course, assuming that would be the end of the matter.
Yeah.
But there were these zealous revolutionary Iranians who spent years literally piecing together all these shreds and reconstructing the documents.
Wow.
So what chance have you got, really?
I suppose nowadays you've got digital technology that could almost do that by sight now.
Yes. Okay. Well, which bit should we play?
Maybe
we
could play my specially composed Christmas song for this very show.
I've almost, everything's gone to sleep here. All the machinery has sort of gone to sleep. Which track is it? Track one on CD two.
This should wake up the equipment. This is it.
Thank you.
Sleigh Bells?
Yeah, it's a Christmas song.
Oh. So that was from your Christmas album?
No, that was actually composed especially for this show.
Really? Thank you, Dan.
Just a few days ago. Thank you
very much.
A quarter tone special.
There was a slight jingle there. We almost got the sort of a hint of sleigh bells.
Yeah. Well, if you think that wasn't upbeat enough, I did a second version. Okay. I almost expected you to be a bit nonplussed by it. So there is a second version.
Right.
Which you could play maybe to liven things up a bit.
Is that the party version?
Yes.
There was a very subtle hint of sleigh bells there towards the end.
Yeah. There were sleigh bells in there. Yeah.
How do you create the sleigh bell sound?
With sleigh bells.
Right.
Yeah.
Where do you get them from?
Bins. Everything I own comes from bins. In fact, I'm wearing my trousers now.
Really?
Yeah, from ex-supermarket.
So you are the perfect recycler, in a way. You're a sort of modern man.
In fact, this jumper belongs...
It's a nice jumper. It looks good.
It belonged to Chris Weaver. He gave it to me. So
oh, that's not quite...
That's not the same, but it's still recycling.
Not quite the same. Yeah.
So maybe make some more humming noises, because I forgot to announce to listeners that throughout this show I've been clicking away, recording certain parts of the show, hopefully to make a small, what's known as a palimpsest, to play back at the end of the show.
Right.
Make a few noises.
Well, I suppose I could sing a carol or something.
That would be nice.
Except it would be dreadful, actually. It really would be hopeless. I shouldn't do that. No. But what is this contraption you've got that you're doing this on? It looks. This definitely came out of a bin, didn't it?
No, I bought this.
Oh, I can't believe it. I mean, it looks like it's dropping to pieces.
I've had this since I was about 14. It's my tape thing. It's just a kind of adapted battery-powered tape recorder.
Right.
And it's adapted because it's actually you can make very small moments of tape splice. So I can actually... Well, you'll hear it at the end of the show.
As you did that, the lid sort of dropped off. It's a sort of black plastic... what's the make of it?
It's Sony, I think.
Okay. Right.
No, it's Steepletone.
Steepletone. Yeah. Right. You've had it since you were 14. You can't remember if it's Sony or Steepletone.
I've never. The lid's not usually on it, so okay. All I see is this guts of it.
Fair enough. Now, should we play some of this? We've got this thing called a CD called Creeping Cinquefoil, 5 years of buried treasure.
Oh yeah.
What is the story behind this? It seems to have numerous contributors on it. And you say this came out in December.
This came out just a few days ago, the 1st of December. And okay. It's part of the Buried Treasure label, which is this is a 5-year retrospective. It's on CD and it's available to download by Bandcamp and and so on. And it's full of all kinds of things, archival recordings, contemporary things and... Real chamboree of...
Is this seasonal?
It's kind of seasonal. It comes with a beer mat.
Right. Okay. Well, that's good news.
I've got one track on it as well. So that's why I brought it along.
Right, of course. Well, I thought that, fair enough. No, that's fine. I mean, you're entitled. You come on my show. You're definitely entitled to promote your track on Buried Treasure, amongst other things.
I think it's about 20 tracks, actually.
There are 20 tracks on it by all sorts of people. I can't tell whether it's the title of the track or the people that are doing it. It's sort of I See by Hurst featuring Neil Cowley. B Anne by Alan. Oh no, that's fairly straightforward. Buckaboo by Rev Bielder.
Oh, that's Alan Gubby's, the label founder's in-house band, and they do quite sophisticated things and poetry from Dolly Dolly. It's very good stuff.
Okay, well, shall we play your track from this, which is track 14? This is called Frequency Cluster by Radionics Radio. Live at Kelvedon Hatch Nuclear Bunker.
Yes, that was actually a multi-visual installation performance organised by the label founder, Alan Gubby, as part of their Delaware Road project. And coincidentally, my Radionics Radio project investigates Delaware laboratories, and that was just another synchronicity, just a pure coincidence, the name Delaware.
This is nothing to do with the Delaware Pavilion?
The Delaware Pavilion...
In Bexhill?
No, that would just be a third coincidence if that was involved.
Well, because I went there within the last 2 weeks.
Oh, wow.
To the Delaware Pavilion. But is it spelled the same way? Is it Delaware?
Yeah.
War has two R's on the end.
Yeah.
I went there. It's a fascinating exhibition, actually, of Grace Palethorpe and Ruben Mednikoff, who were sort of English surrealist artists. It's highly recommended. It's coming to Camden Arts Centre next year.
I didn't realise they were so modernist. I thought the Delaware Pavilion was a conservative bastion of more traditional art.
No. They do all sorts of things. They had an Ian Brakewell installation once. Which I went to, and that was there was a very pointed occasion of synchronicity which occurred then when I went to that exhibition, which I won't go into now. It's too complicated.
But synchronicities, they're so rooted in personal experience.
It was quite extraordinary. Involved people in a hire car, and we'd been to the Ian Brakewell show, and it was playing. Part of his installation was the Moonlight Sonata, I think, or some kind of waltz. Anyway, it involved people waltzing, and then we got in this hire car and we drove away, and we turned on the radio, and the very same piece of music just came on the radio, and my Canadian friend who was with me was absolutely completely flabbergasted. He sort of said, "Wow, that's really peculiar," and but perhaps not. Perhaps that's just an everyday coincidence. Where were we? Delaware. So Grace Palethorpe and Ruben Mednikoff were a couple, English surrealists, who started in the 1930s. Grace Palethorpe was a psychoanalyst. She was 23 years older than Ruben Mednikoff, and they made very similar paintings for, sort of like, what do you call it? Illustrations of the subconscious, but quite sort of straightforward. They're quite odd in a way because they look like straightforward illustrations of what's going on in your subconscious mind, which probably isn't possible, but they're fascinating anyway.
Okay, interesting.
Right. Yeah. So that was Delaware. That's my Delaware story.
How curious.
Yeah, I've forgotten what your Delaware story was.
Delaware Laboratories is based. Radionics Radio is based on Delaware's technique of encoding thoughts as frequencies.
Right. And, oh, it's not far removed from this. It's sort of similar, isn't it?
It's probing similar. The subconscious. Yeah.
Right. So should we play your track from here?
Yeah.
What is this called? Frequency cluster.
Yeah. Containing many unnamed thoughts.
So that was Frequency Cluster by Radionics Radio, live at Kelvedon Hatch Nuclear Bunker. Radionics Radio being another one of your pseudonyms?
Yeah.
Or pen nom de plume, or whatever you call it?
It's the project whereby I use alternative tuning systems derived from thoughts that listeners sent in, or they were crowdsourced using an app. And then I created tuning systems based on people's thoughts, such as drinks bottle, cardboard box, win the lottery next week. These are all thoughts people had. And by a process of dowsing, using a web oscillator, they could build runs of frequencies that supposedly related to the thought. And it's a nice way of getting arbitrary tuning systems. Almost, you could say, like found objects, like when you find a saucepan in the street or something, it's got its own set of frequencies, and I don't see this as being much different, except it's electronic. You just source frequencies from people intuitively.
You are listening to Wavelength on Resonance 104.4 FM, and today's guest is Dan Wilson. Very, very welcome guest, Dan. Thank you very much for coming in and presenting your sort of Christmas show. It's always a pleasure to have you in.
Thanks.
And one of the objects you brought in with a view to you had sort of suggested that we'd have a competition, a Christmas competition.
Yeah.
But it's a sort of failed competition because I don't know how anyone's going to win this thing. This presumably came from a bin.
It did.
And it is, describe what it is, or should
use your book dealerly instinct to
Describe. Should I read an extract and perhaps somebody might guess what it is?
Okay. So, well, it's a book. We've given it away.
It's a book. So. Yes. Pick a number, any number, between 1 and 265.
128.
Right. 128. That's strange. The book. I'm absolutely serious. I'm quite serious. The book has opened at page 128. Did you have some reason for picking that page?
No.
Because it's opposite page 128. It is an illustration.
I have to confess, I've never read the book.
Right. But I promise you, the book did fall open at 128. This is a bit peculiar, actually. And the illustration on page 129 is a memorial tablet over the door where the Popolo d'Italia started its publications in November 1914.
Oh, that's a giveaway, actually. I think
it is a giveaway to some people that would be well versed in this kind of populism.
Yes.
Which is quite of the moment.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
You can see that's very true.
Populism, apparently, this sort of much derided thing where people sort of actually take an active interest in politics probably for the first time in their lives.
Yep.
And this is being discredited. It's being called populism, as though it was something to be looked down on. So I'll start to read. Fifth, the creation and intensification of friendly relations with all peoples of the Near and Far East, not excluding those which are ruled by the Soviets. Sixth, the indications in colonial policy of the rights and necessities of our nation. And so it goes on. I concluded my speech by an ardent affirmation of faith. It is destiny, I said, that Rome again takes her place as the city who will be the director. I should, before we go on, it was going to sound like we're broadcasting propaganda of the right, which I don't wish to do. But this is, in fact, Benito Mussolini, my autobiography. There's a frontispiece of Il Duce.
The condition is very poor.
It is poor. It looks actually like a first edition. It's strangely enough.
That's what I thought people might.
It's a first English edition.
Well, we could sign it. Maybe you could sign it.
What, sign it, Benito? You mean? What would happen? I mean, it's quite a fascinating document. There's all sort of images, nice illustrations. The March on Rome, the main railway station in Milan, patrolled by black shirts. I mean, it's very timely, isn't it? Given what's going on here, there, and everywhere.
Yeah, and in France at the moment.
Well, exactly. Yeah. Yes, the sort of the yellow shirts as opposed to the black shirts. But I'll do a bit of a quick flick of the book past the microphone.
And I'll record the sound. Yeah. Nice.
So that is the whole context.
A bit more.
Oh, okay.
Oh, and again.
So we've now sort of almost broadcast the whole contents of my autobiography by Benito Mussolini.
Yes.
In one fell swoop, in a sort of rapid, what do you call that, a flicking of the pages. And you have been working on this material now whilst this programme is on air. So we have a live... We will eventually have a live intervention, a palimpsest, as you call it, which is like a superimposition of texts. Is that right? It's like things overlaid to create a sort of another.
That's a good point, because I've been forgetting to overlay. I've just created a linear.
Right. So it's not really a palimpsest. It's more of a kind of cut up or something.
It's more of a cut up.
Cut up. Yeah. All right. At what stage will we bear the fruits of the cutter. I can see.
I'm cutting
now. I'm surprised
now.
This machine isn't dropping to bits, actually, with the way you're dealing with it.
It is. Yeah. Okay, so let's play now. The result of this.
Okay. Do I need to bring this thing up? This. Oh, that's right. You've headed the microphone now.
Sorry.
Shall I bring this piece up? This.
Let's see what we've got. Wait. Hang on. It's coming. It needs to rewind. It needs rewinding, so
that's all right. You
know, it's quite a lot, actually. I didn't realise how much there was.
I mean, we could.
Here we are. We are now coming to zero. You may remember this from
I do, a previous.
Yes,
I was going to say I haven't mentioned Jabberwocky on this programme.
No.
It's only coming out.
There is some overlapping.
Okay, accidental overlapping, perhaps.
No, on purpose.
All right,
blind.
In fact, cassettes are dead. Maybe you could. There's no.
But there is a strange revival of it.
There's a revival, but
I think I've only got it coming out one channel.
That's all part of the fun.
Bishop Stortford last night has some relevance to the subject of bin diving. So that's actually a list of things.
What, just in car parks or something? Or your sort of personal information, like data, like if you've thrown away a gas bill or something.
That's like identity theft.
Yeah. Literally. Piecing the documents.
Wow.
So what chance have you got? Is that the party version?
Yes. Maybe make some more humming noises. Cool. Ring certain parts of the show. Hopefully a small, what's known as a palimpsest.
Well, I how should. I could have spoken oral or something.
It would be nice.
Except that would be actually no. But what is this contraption you've got that you came out of? Oh, I can't believe it.
My quite distant. So I was about 14. Ape.
What
is this guts of it?
CD called. I can't. Shall we play your pavilion? Well, I wore pavilion. Ruben Mednikoff, who was sort of English realist art. No. Pointed. I can't break waltz anyway. It involved people waltzing, and then we got in the peculiar. And but perhaps not. Perhaps that's just whenever painting. What do you call it? Illustrations of this, but fascinating.
Okay.
Right. So that was Delaware. That's Mario Dustal.
Yeah.
So that was Frequency Cluster by Radionics Radio, live at Colchester Nuclear, meter wavelength on resonance 104.4 FM. And today's guest is very welcome. Guest view to you. We sort of just have a Christmas competition. We came from a bin.
It did.
And it is, shall I describe what it is? Or shall we
use your book dealerly instinct?
Or shall I read an extract? Pick a number, any number. I'm absolutely serious.
I've never read the book.
2029 is a memorial to it. Over the door, when a public colony started its publications in 1940, right at the moment, the creation and intensification of friendly relations with all peoples of a new form is the right six is a connectivity of the rights and necessities of our nation. And so it goes on. I concluded my speech by an ardent affliction of fact. This is destiny third, that Rome again takes her place as a city. Here the direction, should before we go on. Sound like we're of the right, which I don't wish, my autobiography, a sort of main railway station in Milan, patrolled by bots. I mean, it's very timely, isn't it? Quick flick of the bot across the microphone.
And I'll record the sound. And again.
That is the...
So...
That's it.
That's it. Well, thank you. That was a live performance on the what's this machine called again?
The Steepletone.
The Steepletone sort of cassette recorder, or is it an answer machine?
A quantum cassette recorder.
Quantum cassette recorder.
Quantum.
Quantum.
Once was.
Which seems to be falling apart in front of us, but still providing palimpsests.
Yeah.
Even you're clicking even as I speak now. You're still creating another palimpsest.
I'm just, you know, just checking that it's all.
Should we play out with your last Christmas track?
Oh yes, okay. If there's time.
Yeah, we've still got 5 minutes.
This is a cleaned up version. This is a fully palatable version of something I recorded when I was much younger. Yeah. The Christmas song.
Right.
For Christmas people.
That's very opportune. We'll play. I think. This is 3 minutes and 26, so we've still got time to play.
Santa Claus is coming down the chimney. Oh, Santa Claus is coming down the chimney. Santa Claus is coming down the chimney. Santa Claus. Coming down the chimney, Santa Claus is coming down the chimney. Santa Claus is coming down the chimney.
That was from your Christmas album?
Yes, the tape dropped album, the one that was left in public places randomly.
Okay. Well, I think you're onto a winner with that one. I think you could release that as a single.
It
has great potential. I hope other radio stations pick up on that one and you might reap the rewards of such a...
Oh, thanks. It's a broadcast-friendly version. So,
yeah. Well, once again, thank you very much to Dan Wilson of Meadow House and Radionics Radio for
Thanks.
Boosting my Christmas ratings.
Oh, thanks.
Thank you, Dan. And you're off to a party tonight, I think.
I might be if I feel up to it, if I shake off this Viles disease.
The Viles disease, which you caught from a bin.
Yeah.
And actually, the dust from Benito Mussolini's autobiography has a sort of... yeah, exactly. But, right on cue. Yeah, indeed. Well, thank you very much again.
Perhaps would anyone like this autobiography? If you do, maybe you could send in a stamped address envelope with an answer to a question.
Which we haven't thought of.
At Dalston's Café Otto.
This programme has been brought to you by Resonance 104.4 FM. If you liked what you heard and want to support our work, please make a donation at fundraiser.resonance.fm.